Good morning, beloved. It's good to be with you in this 24th study of the letter of Jude. We're going very slowly, but wow, what an amazing letter. There's so much that we can learn as we study this letter. So that's why I'm taking time, and we're not in a hurry, are we? I hope not. So, Jude, our 24th study, we're busy with verse 8 to 10. Now, before we continue, let's just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's such a privilege to come to you. A privilege because of what Christ did for us. A privilege because you have given us your Holy Spirit and he enables us to understand your word. So I pray as we dig into our topic for this morning or for today, I pray, Father, please open up your word to us so that we can take it to heart, understand. And I pray that you will enable me as your servant to teach your people. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, Jude 1, verse 8 to 10. It says, likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh. He's speaking about the false teachers, nah? Rejecting authority and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally. Like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. Now we've got to get to verse 10, but let's just go back quickly for a moment. Remember that in verse 4, Jude gave us four characteristics of these false teachers that he's speaking about. He said that they get into the church unnoticed. They get in stealth mode. They are ungodly. They turn the grace of God into the means for them to commit sexual immorality and other kinds of sins. They deny different things about the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, that specifically is revealed in God's word. This kind of the first four characteristics is found in verse 4. And then in verse 8, he gives us another four characteristics. And he says that they are dreamers. They defile the flesh. They reject authority. And then the fourth characteristic is that they speak evil of dignitaries. And remember that the meaning of the word dignitary is basically glory. Nah? Glories. And this can refer to both earthly or heavenly dignitaries. But from the context, we see that it basically refers to heavenly dignitaries. In this case, it refers to angels. Now, last week, we looked at what the Bible tells us about angels in general. But this time, we're going to take a closer look at the devil. We're going to look at Satan or Lucifer, different names for Satan. Now, let's read verse 9 again. Verse 9 says, yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." All right. So today we look at Satan specifically. But we're going to answer a few questions. Look at a few questions with regards to Satan. The one is, where does Satan come from? Who is the devil? As I said last week, there are so many people that has these ideas about the devil, this little red man, you know, with little horns and a fork in his hand, you know, that kind of thing with a long tail. That's how he's depicted in pictures. But Job, when we read Job chapter 2 verse 1 tells us that Satan is an angel. Right? And angels were basically created by God. So Satan is nothing other than a created being. He is created by God and he's an angel. We know now, obviously, he's a fallen angel, but he's an angel. He was created as an angel. The Bible also clearly shows us that Satan did not create himself. Okay, he didn't always exist. He started existing when all the other angels was created by God. And God created the angels, by the way, for a specific purpose. Okay. Now, At the time when God created the angels, Satan, or Lucifer, as he was called at that specific stage, he was created as one of the angels. But he wasn't just a messenger in the sense of most angels. Most angels are messengers. Satan was, he was created as one of the angels, but he was an angel in authority. Now, when you read Ezekiel chapter 28, specifically verse 12 to 15, many believe, and I'm one of them, that believe that it's basically a description of Satan before his fall into sin, before pride was found in him. You know, when he tried to become equal to God, Ezekiel 28 actually gives us a description. Even though Ezekiel is speaking about a king, a prince on this earth, that is kind of a way of speaking about what happened to Satan when pride was found in him. Now, we read about it in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 12 to 15. Now, in Ezekiel 28, Satan or Lucifer or the devil, different names for the same created being, he was called the anointed covering cherub. And he had enjoyed a position of highest authority before God. We read that in verse 14 and 16. You see, the thing is, he was filled with wisdom. He was filled with beauty. That's why Satan can change himself into an angel of light. That's why Satan can betray himself and deceive so many people, because he was filled with wisdom and beauty. He didn't lose it when he sinned. How much angels changed, that's very difficult. These pictures that people paint of the devil and of demons and that kind of thing, these things are gruesome. It's bad. That's not what angels look like. You know, we don't know what angels look like. The Bible says that angels could walk among us and we won't even know about it, because they can take on the form of a human being. So it's possible that these fallen angels, even though they have a lot of beauty, that they can take on the form of these ugly things to scare people, you know? There could be different reasons, but what fallen angels actually look like, what the devil actually looks like, we don't really know. The Bible doesn't describe him to us so that we can know. But we know before the fall, he was filled, before his fall, not the fall, but his fall, he was filled with wisdom. He had a lot of beauty. He was blameless. I mean, no one could accuse him of doing any wrong until he sinned. I mean, Isaiah tells us that this angel, this angel of wisdom and beauty and that was blameless, was called Lucifer. And it basically means star of the morning, or son of dawn in Ezekiel, in Isaiah, sorry, chapter 14, verse 12. But after he fell into sin, after pride was found in him, after he wanted to climb up to the Most High and become like him. And by the way, when you remember when he came to the Garden of Eden and he tempted Eve to commit exactly the same sin as the sin that he committed. He wanted Adam and Eve to sin, to do the same thing, to become like God. So Lucifer's sin is, is not different to the sin that he wanted Adam and Eve to commit. All right, but after the fall, his name, was changed to Satan. And he was not called Lucifer again. Okay? You see, his fall is described in Ezekiel chapter 28 and in Isaiah chapter 14. And what we see in Ezekiel 28 and in Isaiah 14 is the following. We see specifically in Ezekiel 28 verse 16 that because of Satan's sin, he was cast out from God's presence. Obviously, in Job, we read that Satan could still come into God's presence. You know, when all the angels gathered Satan was also there after roaming over around the across the earth. But after he sinned, he was cast out of God's presence, and all the other fallen angels were cast out with him. How it's possible for Satan, and this is questions that comes up in people's minds, how it's possible for Satan to still come into the presence of God or come into the vicinity of God, that is not, I don't understand. I don't know how that works. Because in Job, clearly Satan came before God. I mean, he's the accuser of the brethren in the book of Revelation. And for him to accuse the brethren, somehow he has to get the message through to God. So whether he comes to the most holy throne of God and comes before the throne of God, I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. All we know is that Satan was cast out of God's presence when he sinned against God, when pride was found in him, and he wanted to be like the Most High God. You see, this is the thing. This is the thing about pride. Pride is actually such a huge problem because it is pride that causes us to want to become like God, to actually create our own God and then worship that God. It is pride that causes us not to bow our knees to God and to His commandments and what He wants and how He wants things done. Pride is a massive, massive big problem. Stefan was telling me, he says, he thinks that pride is the root cause of all sin. It is, you can take all kind of sin and just root it back to the sin of pride. And it's amazing that even in the Garden of Eden, the major sin that Satan wanted Adam and Eve to commit was obviously to be like the Most High God, but it was to be filled with pride. You see, for us to be like God, or for human beings to be like God, is pride. It is that me, myself, and I want to climb up to the Most High. I want to be like Him. I want to be the God of my own life, and I want to take control of my own life, and I want to do things my own way. That's the biggest problem in our lives. And I believe that's why when Paul speaks to Timothy, he says to Timothy, Timothy, in the last days, people will be selfish, self-centered. Everything will revolve around themselves. And if something revolves around somebody, only themselves, they're already so full of pride. And that's the problem. Now, when we talk about the fall of Satan, the fact that he wanted to be like God and the reason for his fall, we can also look at passages of Scripture like Luke chapter 10, verse 18, 1 Timothy 3, 16, Revelation 12, verse 7 to 9. But remember this, even though Satan sinned and he was thrown out of heaven, Satan was and is still accountable to God. Now, this is the amazing thing, because God is ultimately in authority. God has ultimate control. God is the Creator. God is the Almighty God. Even though Satan rebelled, he can never, ever be like God. God has got all authority, and Satan is accountable to Him. He can't just do whatever he wants. He remains subordinate to God, and he remains restricted by God. Satan can't do whatever he wants. God has given Satan boundaries, and Satan can only function within those boundaries. Right, so that is the first question. What do we know about Satan? What do we know about Lucifer? Where does he come from? How did he get to the place where he is, where he is no longer an angel of God, but that he is actually a fallen angel, like all the other angels? And by the way, Scripture teaches us that the pool of fire at the end, the lake of fire, is prepared for Satan and his angels. The lake of fire is prepared for Satan and his angels. That is his ultimate end. And by the way, he knows it. Because I think if there's one that knows the Scriptures, it is going to be Satan. That's why he uses instruments, not like false prophets, false teachers that Judas is speaking about, to twist scripture. To twist scripture to such an extent that Christ is not being portrayed for who he really is. You know, that kind of thing. So many things that are being twisted. And Satan is directly, not directly involved with every single false teacher, because Satan can only be in one place at one time. But Satan and fallen angels, other fallen angels that the Bible calls demons, they are definitely involved in spreading these false things, the doctrines of demons Paul speaks about. All right, so what does the Bible tell us about Satan? What is he like? In the first place, remember, we said it already, he's a created being. He was created by God. He didn't create himself. He didn't exist from eternity. He was created. He started existing at a specific time. And this we find in Ezekiel 28, verse 14. Then when we go and look at Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul speaks about our wrestling is not against flesh and blood. That basically tells us that the angels, they can take on the form of a human being, because we read that in scripture, that angels have done that before, but they are spirit beings. So Satan is a spirit being. He does not have a body like us. Okay? But then Ezekiel chapter 28 verse 14 also tells us that he's a cherubim. Now, I went to look up what some of the people say on the internet. And the basic definition of a cherubim is that the Bible describes cherubim as guardians of paradise. They are attendees of God and bearers of the throne. But they also say that a cherub is a winged creature. And they are presented over 90 times in the Bible. As I said before, attending on God. And they are later seen as the second highest order of angels. They are ranked above thrones, but they are below the seraphim. The seraphim that's in the presence of God. All right, so that's just something about Satan, what he is like. He is a cherub, or he was a cherub. That is quite a high position among the angels. A lot of authority. Right, but then John 8 verse 44 tells us that he is a murderer. And actually he's called a murderer from the beginning. But he's also a liar, because he's called the father of lies. Né? He is the one where lies come from. Once again, if we go back to the Garden of Eden, we find Satan lies to Adam and Eve. You will be as God, or you will be like gods. Né? Not true. That's a lie. But then in 1 John chapter 3 verse 8, it teaches us that Satan is a sinner. But he's also the accuser of the brethren. He accuses us before God. And he's the enemy of God's people. Please don't forget it. Please never forget that Satan is our enemy. He wants to destroy God's people. Because the only way he can get to God is by destroying God's people. All right? And then James tells us that we can resist the devil. And how do we do that? By submitting to God. As we submit to God, we resist the devil and he will flee from us. And then obviously, God puts limits on what Satan can and cannot do. We've looked at that already. We find that in Job chapter 1 verse 12, where God places limits on Satan of what he could do with Job and what he couldn't do to Job. All right. Now, where does Satan stay? Where does he reside? The Bible teaches us that Satan lives in the heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 11 and 12 is very clear on that. He is, obviously he's the host, how can I say, he's the in the heavenly places, in the sense of where the demonic forces and the demonic beings are, the fallen angels are. Satan is the highest in authority of them, because the Bible tells us in Revelation that it is Satan and his angels that are cast into the lake of fire. Né? Then we know that Satan has limited access to God. So he resides in heavenly places, but he has limited access to God. We don't really understand how that works. I really don't. But he has limited access to God. He's no longer in God's presence all the time. But that's also not true, hey? Because God is the creator and nothing can exist without God. All right, so in that sense, God is everywhere at the same time. So in that sense, Satan is never ever outside of the presence of God in that sense. Yeah. All right, but then also the scripture teaches us that Satan roams around on the earth. He's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Okay, we need to understand that. And he is definitely roaming around seeking whom he may devour. But I believe it's important for us to understand the following. God is the only one who knows everything. God is the only one that has all power in heaven and on earth. And God is the only one who is everywhere at the same time. The devil and, the devil does not know everything. He's limited in his knowledge. Obviously, he has a lot of knowledge because he existed for a very long time. He knows a lot. Don't underestimate Satan's knowledge. But he doesn't know everything. God knows everything. Then also, Satan does not have all power. His power is limited, and his power is limited by God. And then he can only be at one place, or in one place, at one time. So this idea that Satan is all over the world, and people say, oh, the devil is here, and the devil has done this, and the devil has done that, and the devil has done that, it's not true. The devil can't be in South Africa and in England and in Australia and in New Zealand and America and South America and up in Africa in Kenya. And he can't be everywhere at the same time. It's not possible. He's one created being. He's an angel, a fallen angel, obviously, but he's a singular spiritual or spirit being that can only be at one place at one time. Obviously, there are many demons because a third of the angels fell with Satan. So they are the ones that are all over the place. Okay, in every country. And they do their thing. But Satan can only be in one place. There's a seat of Satan, Revelation teaches us. And Satan is normally there where his seat is. And how it works, I don't know. And then he has, like the Prince of Persia that we read about in Daniel. He has authorities. He has leaders over the different countries. Let's say like fallen angels that are of higher rank maybe or whatever that are, and especially in his domain, they have higher rank than the normal demonic forces that are doing the normal stuff, you know, to tempt people and to get people to persecute God's people, that kind of thing. Those demonic beings that takes possession of people, that so that people become demon-possessed. All right, but Satan can only be in one place at one time. All right, so what these false teachers do is they really, I don't know if it's just ignorance or it's because they've been deceived, but they speak evil of what they do not know. They speak evil of Satan. They speak evil of these things, but Michael didn't even do it, the archangel. Remember that. All right, so when I talk about the devil or I talk about Satan and Lucifer, I'm not looking down on the devil. I'm not looking down on Lucifer in that sense because, not Lucifer, but Satan. I acknowledge the fact that God created him as a angel. Now he's a fallen angel. I don't respect him the way I respect God, but I respect the fact that he's a created being. Like we have to respect every person that has been created by God. We respect new, fellow human beings because we are created in the image and likeness of God. And we respect angelic beings because God created them as angelic beings. All right. But I know my authority is in Christ. I don't fear the devil. I don't fear demons. I don't have to. Because my protection and everything is in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. All right. That's it for today. Let's have a word of prayer before I say goodbye. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come to you, and thank you that we can learn what Scripture teaches about Satan specifically as a fallen angel. And thank you that we can learn that who he is and where he comes from, so that we can understand more about who this being is that you created. But above all, Father, thank you that you have authority over everything that you created, and that you are untouchable. You are everywhere at the same time. You are awesome, Father. And during this week, help us to understand that even though Satan will attack us, or demonic forces may want to attack us, or they are our enemies, Father, thank you that we have authority in Jesus Christ. And may we hold on to him as we are involved in the spiritual battle, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much for listening again, and I hope that we've learned a little bit. It's not exhaustive, but it's at least it's something that we learn that I believe is important for us to understand. God willing, until next time, bye-bye.